And welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest health research and world news. This is Ted Brower. We're still trying to get Austin on the line. I played hooky yesterday and ran through the national park and had some fun with that. Let me tell you my national park story before we start on the news. That this is at the Great Smoky Mountain National Park up near Gatlinburg and near Knoxville. And it was interesting. We got to the park and there's a place called, is it called Parson Creek Road or Parson Branch Road? It's a road that comes off of Cades Cove, and it's a shortcut down to the Fontana.
Yeah, I'm here, bud.
Hey, bud. I'm telling a story of what happened yesterday. So I basically I drove all the way through the park to take the shortcut back through the Fontana Dam. I got down to the road, went down about 8-10 miles down this nasty, dirty road, and all of a sudden it said road closed. There were no road close signs at all near the road. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. So I went, drove all the way back through Cades Cove, went to the ranger station, and I said, why in the world is this Parsons Creek Branch Road closed? And they said, well, there's some trees that may fall down in there, and we don't have the money to cut them down because it's going to cost like $300,000. So they've closed the road indefinitely, so nobody can use the road, and they're probably never going to open it again. Now, this was like a shortcut from the southwest corner of the park. And I looked at them, I started laughing, and I said, why don't we just not drop two bombs in Afghanistan today, and then that way we can go ahead and fix the road? And they started laughing, and they said, well, you have to talk to Donald Trump about that. I said, well, this has been going on in Afghanistan a lot longer than Donald Trump. But I want to tell you the absolutely insanity of the federal government and the National Park Service, how we lost $10 trillion, and the United States government doesn't have $300,000 to take a road that's been open for over 30 years and fix it by cutting down a few trees to allow the public to go through it, nor do they have the ability to go in and basically have this bid go out. I mean, you know how many trees you can cut down with a chainsaw for $300,000? Shoot, I'll go in there and cut it out. I'll give me a 48-inch, you know, steel chainsaw. And well, you and I go up there, Austin, for about 2 weeks, cut it all down for $300,000. Probably half that. I mean, this is complete and total nonsense of the bureaucracy and the spending that's going on in the federal government and what a nonsense it is. So, yes, I was at the National Park yesterday. Yes, it was a mistake. Yes, it was unbelievably crowded. Yes, I got caught in multiple traffic jams, though I won't do it again until the fall or the spring. We did find one other road, though. What was the name of that one road we were on, Sharon? Well, we found a road that was on the west side of the park down a ridge, and it was absolutely beautiful. It was like the Blue Ridge Parkway, but it's called something else. And that was a lot of fun. And I also did the Dragon's Tail by accident, Austin. You've heard of the Dragon's Tail. My navigation routed me through the Dragon's Tail, and I'm in a diesel SUV running down the Dragon's Tail with these motorcycles and crotch rockets running by me, and I'm having to keep pulling over because these guys are racing down the Dragon's Tail. And I thought to myself, here I am in a four-wheel drive diesel SUV doing the Dragon's Tail for the first time. How interesting is this? So they were actually taking pictures of the motorcycles, and they even took pictures of the SUV going down. I guess they never expected to see an SUV going down the Dragon's Tail yesterday afternoon, and then you can go ahead and get your photograph if you want to go ahead and collect those. So, Austin, that was my day yesterday. I hear you did a great job on the show. Thank you so much for filling in and covering for my half. And what's your first story, buddy?
Oh, yeah, man. Well, it was a blast. I mean, you guys, when you don't have service, there's not a whole lot you can do about it. So I'm glad I had the show as always. But yeah, that's interesting. You were talking with the road closure. What's the irony about that too is what you were just saying, how it's going to cost $300,000 to cut it. I'm sure that's probably from one bid from one unbelievably high priced crew who knows it's a national park job, which means there's really no ceiling on the budget. Whatever the number comes in at, it's the number that it comes in at. And so they're trying to use that as an excuse now to where we can't afford to do it because the number's outrageous. If they start bringing in crews and say, okay, we need to get 15 different bids from all over the state to come in here and do this, I can guarantee you they can get that bid down significantly. We've moved trees, I don't even know how many times, Dad, here, you know, all over the property, all over the place. And I mean, yeah, it's a lot of work, but if you have the right tools and enough people and the right equipment to haul stuff, it's really not that difficult of a job. They can at least go in there and cut out the main large trees that have the highest highest potential to fall and also cut down on their bid and get the job done. But as you said, sitting there saying we're going to shut down the road indefinitely because there's some trees that are going to fall and we don't have the money to cut them out is pretty ridiculous, considering the fact that we're constantly spending more money. Where the Pentagon just said, what, a month ago, that they needed another $11 billion added to the budget so they could add more funds for the Navy so they could do more nonsense over in the Middle East. This is the kind of stuff that continues to happen on a regular basis, yet they want to turn around and say they don't have the money to do this and that, but as you just said, we go drop more bombs. First story in the day, this is pretty wild here. California has now done it. They've been fighting Monsanto now for years, but according to the State Office of Environmental Health Hazard Assessment, they have now stated on July 7th, glyphosate will be added to the Proposition 65 list, California's list of chemicals known to cause cancer, effective July 11th. They basically gone in and said that this stuff directly causes cancer. There's no question about it. There's compounds on the Proposition 65 list that aren't even near as cancer causing or as toxic to people or the environment as glyphosate is, and there's no excuse that it should not be on there. So July 7th, it's being added to the list. Monsanto, of course, their rebuttal, they vowed to continue its legal fight against the designation, and they called the decision, get this, these are such liars. These guys, they literally can look people in the face, dead face, straight eyed, and completely lie. Their response to it was, they said, this is unwarranted on the basis of science and the law. There's absolutely no reason glyphosate should be on the Proposition 65 list. It has no toxic properties whatsoever, even though the World Health Organization even listed it as probably carcinogenic 2 years ago. Also, too, Monsanto's getting hit because of dicamba, the weed killer designed to use with Monsanto's next generation of biocrop, is under massive scrutiny in Arkansas after the state plant board voted last week to completely ban the chemical from being used whatsoever in the state. Listing glyphosate as a known carcinogen under California's Proposition 65 will require companies selling the chemical in the state to add all warning labels to the packaging, and warnings would also be required if glyphosate is being sprayed at levels deemed to be unsafe by regulators in the state of California also. So Monsanto's hacked off, of course they are, but hopefully this continues to go through. But as far as right now, from what I'm seeing, July 7th, which is actually my birthday, they are making this go into law. So I really, really hope that nothing pops up, nobody gets any horse heads in the bed at night, Dad, to use a Godfather analogy, and backs out of this or makes it not happen, because this is definitely something that needs to be put down. Whole country, it needs to be banned. But again, at least California, for once, will do something pretty significant and pretty harming to Monsanto, which is always a good thing.
Well, remember, I've got the article of the House there that shows that like 20 different cancers by Monsanto's own research that we've covered in detail on our show. By the way, I've got a late breaking news here. Now, whether or not this is accurate or not, I'm going to give you like this one as just a food for thought one. It says that the FBI agent had been indicted for lying about the killing of Lavoy Finicum. An FBI agent has been indicted and now stands accused of deliberately covering up the truth about the killing of Lavoy Finicum. This is an article by Agorist. This is out of Bend, Oregon. Late Tuesday, it was announced that an unnamed FBI agent involved in the killing of Robert Lavoy Finicum has been indicted. The agent is accused of lying about shooting at Finicum in 2016 when officers arrested the leaders of an occupation of a federal wildlife refuge in rural Oregon. In March 2016, it was announced that multiple FBI agents were under investigation for their role in the death of Finicum. For over a year, Finicum's family has waited for answers, and on Tuesday night, they received a glimpse into the corruption surrounding the death of their father and husband. So, guys, this is big. This is big news, Austin, if this can be proven. So I'll verify this with some more stuff tonight, because I just pulled this up just a few moments ago. But that was definitely an assassination as far as what I'm concerned. What do you think, son?
It's definitely something weird. We're seeing a lot of this stuff now, and you know, this is always the backup plan for these guys. When something goes south and they can't get their way, that next step is assassinate them. We've seen this time and time again. Even in my opinion, the issue that happened with Paul Walker years ago, as we found out later that he was basically exposing a lot of the stuff that was going on with the vaccinations in the Philippines, and also to the funds that they were doing and funding down to Haiti and the Philippines to try and give money to them, and how they were stealing money out of it. And then all of a sudden he dies in a Carrera GT that slides off the road and bursts into flames. A completely implausible story, made no sense at all. But yes, this is exactly what happens when these guys have a loose end that they can't shut up. They pretty much send in some type of hit squad or whatever other option they want to use now, whether it's remote control or whatever it is. This is what they do now. Also,
well,
too...
Hang on one second. I want to add something to that. I just found out that, you know, Chrysler and Dodge now are getting their cars hacked. People are actually hacking into these vehicles, and they're actually hitting the brakes, accelerating the cars, all of this stuff. So the research is out there now that proves that these cars can be hacked into, including making them accelerate and making them turn. I mean, so, yes, that's exactly right, Austin. Suddenly Paul Walker dies in a Carrera GT. Doesn't make any sense to me. That's a race car. And the thing I don't understand is it had a fuel cell in it. I don't know how in the world that thing blew up like it did. Something was really strange with Paul Walker's death, Austin. So go ahead. Go on your next story.
No, you're absolutely right about that. There's no question something was strange about it. Well, this over in Europe, the news over there right now, this is pretty wild. It looks like Hungary and basically the Czech Republic are all starting to have enough. As you guys know, Czech Republic, Hungary, these guys have already come in now and put up massive fences. Hungary put in their huge fence already and has electrified it, tying it into the Czech Republic along with Poland as well. Well, now the Czech Republic is on track to reenact constitutional gun rights now to the citizens in response to terror attacks and the migrant crisis in Europe. The Czech lower chamber approved a bill yesterday to strengthen gun ownership not long after the Eastern Europe country strengthened its border security to repel the Muslim migrants. Both actions are in total defiance of the EU, which is now pressuring member states to take in more migrants and tighten their gun control laws. Now let's pause here for a second. Does anybody think this is possibly even closely coincidental that the EU, controlled by the Rothschild, controlled by the globalist, is trying to shove in more belligerent, militant, migrant Muslims into Europe at the same time they're trying to restrict the gun rights even further on what they already are? No, this isn't coincident at all. This is a deliberate attack to completely break down the fundamental fabric of Europe. Now I go on to the story. This Czech bill recognizes the rights of citizens to use their privately owned firearms and to keep them on their person and to defend the security of their country. The Czech Republic is already one of the most gun-friendly countries in Europe, but it's about to get much friendlier. The bill is now heading to the Czech upper chamber, where once approved, it is going to President Milo Zeman for his signature. He is already expected to sign it, as this bill was his brainchild from the beginning. He stated back in August, he goes, "Earlier I spoke about office and limiting the ability to have large quantities of weapons and ammunition. But after the terrorist attacks, I have changed the idea to that. I want law-abiding citizens to be able to keep and have weapons." The EU's European Commission spent the last several months drafting stricter gun rules opposed by the Czech Republic, Luxembourg, and Poland. Zeman, now President Zeman of Czech, also spearheaded the sealing of the Czech border to combat illegal immigration alongside nearby Hungary, which has reportedly electrified its double-sided fence now on the Hungarian-Serbian border, despite demands from the EU to stand down. This is open defiance of the EU by Eastern European nations, reveals a crumbling influence the unelected bureaucracy has on member nations. And on top of that, now you have the Hungarian Prime Minister, who just had a big conference 2 days ago, and declared that multiculturalism in Europe has utterly failed, and that Hungary will not be bullied into destructive EU immigration policies. During a party function in Budapest this week, Orban reinforced the positions for which he is well known: secure national borders, zero tolerance for illegal immigration, and defense of all Hungarian culture and Christian civilization. He stated, "No one can command any nation who should live in their own country country. This can only be a sovereign decision of the nations, he said, referring to the harassment by the European Union and its most powerful member states like Germany and France, who are applying immense pressure upon Hungary to accept migrant resettlement quotas. He said, we do not want to participate in the German experiment and the falsification of history, which is trying to blame Hungary for letting migrants into Europe instead of Germany. Multicultural has ultimately failed. They want the price to be paid by all European Union member states, including Hungary. Hungary was once inundated with a surge of migrants before the rapid erection of the multi-tiered electric border wall and implementation of aggressive deportation policies, and now its citizens overwhelmingly oppose accepting illegal immigrants. Not a single one, not temporary, not all, said Orban. Orban also recently accused the EU of openly siding with terrorists, saying those who support migration want to demolish the fence and will let migrants of uncertain origin, identity, and motivation settle in Hungary are acting against the Hungarian nation. As long as I'm Prime Minister of Hungary and stand here, so will the border fence on the southern border. So this is pretty pretty wild here, man, that these guys are blatantly... He even called out George Soros. He said that the his administration is under siege by what he's calling the Soros Mafia Network, which Orban has issued a declaration of war on Hungary, he says, as well as Brussels, who has initiated legal proceedings after Hungary, along with Poland and Czech Republic, refused to accept migrant quotas. So these guys are taking a lot of heat, Dad, for what they're standing for, but I am glad to see there's at least a few member countries over in Europe that are willing to stand up for their citizens' rights.
Well, you know, I was in Budapest when they erected the wall over there. I was there. Of course, it wasn't in Budapest where they put the wall up. It was south of there. But the point is, you know, it's so good to have a country stand up like that, unlike Sweden. Right now, Sweden, according to this research, is on the brink of civil war. The police are begging for help. Their legal system is collapsing. Sweden is being torn to pieces by Muslim immigrants and refugees. Law enforcement is crying out for help, and it's only a question of time before the country will need military intervention from abroad in order to avoid a complete humanitarian catastrophe and civil war. A leaked report concludes that the number of lawless areas, commonly referred to as no-go zones in Sweden, has gone to 61. Now in Sweden, it was six a year ago. It's gone up 55 more in a year. The increase includes not only the total number, but also the geographical size of these areas. Sweden's National Police Commissioner, Dan Eliasson, spoke on national television and pleaded for assistance. Quote, help us, he said, while warning that Swedish police forces no longer can uphold the law and therefore must ask all good powers in the country to support them. A research expert regarding destabilized countries and 2011 recipient of Sweden's Order of the Seraphim Medal, John Egelu, has been working with organizations like the UN and others that operate in crisis area. And he warns, I'm afraid it is the end for the world-organized, decent, egalitarian Sweden that we have known for 100 years. Personally, I would not be surprised if a form of civil war occurs. In some places, the civil war has probably already begun. 10 News recently reported how Swedish state has lost large areas to armed religious groups, best described as Islamic militias. Police Chief Lars Argavo says there is lawlessness in parts of Stockholm. Now, he observed how the legal system, which is the pillar of every democracy, is collapsing in Sweden. Austin, this is what they're trying to do to Germany. This is what they're trying to do to the United States. This is a test market for Sweden to see what it's going to take to destroy the culture and bring in that war, son. What do you think?
No, that's exactly what they're doing right now. They've been using Sweden as a beta test now because they've been doing this pretty much since about the mid to late 90s. They've really allowed these guys to come in there and pretty much do whatever they want and just bring in as many Muslims as they want, completely suppress the citizens' rights, take away their guns, not even allow them to have free speech. I mean, now when people over there talk about what's really going on in Sweden online on Facebook, it's immediately pulled down. The police immediately show up at their house and question them on why they're talking about this on social media. It's bizarre. I mean, it's so weird. It's like they're trying to isolate it and do this to make it as bad as they physically can. They're even having to shut down police stations now because they cannot keep police in the stations because it's getting so violent because these militant Muslims are so out of control. Nobody, and the thing is, they won't, and as bad as it's gotten now, the only way to bring these guys back in is essentially bring in a state of emergency and bring in the military. That's it. That's how far it's gotten over there now, and that probably is the ultimate goal, so they can come in and use some type of military force to control the citizens, and you better believe when they do that, they'll say, well, we have to be lenient towards the migrants because they may not understand us. They have different cultures. They have different beliefs. We don't want to offend them or make them feel not welcome here. Like those judges said that one time when that this Muslim 18-year-old raped that girl, and he's like, well, he didn't understand what the word no meant. He didn't understand that when you said it to him. So he can't be held accountable for his actions because he raped you, because he didn't understand the word no. Really? The screaming, flailing, hitting, clawing, trying to push somebody off you while they scream no? I guess you can't figure that out. That's kind of like the ultimate get off me language. It doesn't matter what language it's in. When you start screaming and yelling and trying to get away from somebody, it doesn't mean you have a right to rape them. But apparently over in Sweden now, they're doing everything they can to give these Muslims as much autonomy as they can to pretty much destabilize it. As you said, Dad, it's pretty much a beta test, in my opinion.
It is. By the way, got to pray for those guys. By the way, Stack forecast, opioids could kill nearly 500,000 Americans in the next decade. The next 10 years, 50,000 dead a year. Unbelievable. That's as many as we lost in the Vietnam War every year. Opioids could kill nearly 500,000 people across the U.S. over the next decade. Deaths from opioids have been rising so sharply for years, and drug overdoses are already killing more Americans under the age of 50 than anything else. I'm going to repeat that. Drug overdoses are killing more Americans under the age of 50 than anything else. Stat asked leading public health experts at 10 universities forecast the arc of the epidemic over the next decade, and the consensus is it will get much, much worse. Now, there are 100 deaths a day right now in the United States from opioids. Right now, that's what we have recorded. It could be higher than that. A swath of destruction that runs from Tony, New England suburbs to the farm countries of California, all the way back to the beach towns of Florida to the Appalachian foothills. In the worst-case scenario put forth by Stats expert panel, the toll could spike to 250 deaths a day. That's a lot, guys. If potent synthetic opioids like fentanyl and carfentanil continue to spread rapidly, and the waits for the treatments continue to stretch weeks into months in hard-hit states like West Virginia and New Hampshire. If that prediction proves accurate, the death toll over the next decade could top over 650,000. That's almost as many Americans that will die from breast cancer and prostate cancer during that same time period. But put another way, the opioids could kill nearly as many Americans in a decade as HIV/AIDS has killed since the epidemic began almost 40 years ago. The deep cuts to Medicaid now being debated in Congress could add to the desperation by leaving millions of low-income adults without insurance, according to the Congressional Budget Office. What an unbelievable mess, Austin. But this is exactly what they want to do to the United States. This is the best way to basically make more money. God, you got to remember, guys, this mafia that sells these drugs, that their goal is to enslave as many people, like the opium wars in China, to enslave as much of the population as they possibly can to heroin and to opium. That way,
yep,
a dumbed down population who's drug dependent will not fight against you. All they want is their fix every day. That's all they care about. They just want their drugs, and they don't care what else happens in their life. They're willing to rob, kill, steal and destroy, just like Lucifer does, to get their drugs in most cases. Now, guys, this is a mess. It's all coming out of Afghanistan, all being sponsored to you today by your CIA. What do you think, Oz?
Oh, that's exactly what's going on. I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, the more dope they can sell, the more people they can get hooked on, as you just said, you just called it out, that's the more people that they can control. Because when you see people, and I've dealt with them before, especially in some of the college classes we had, with some of the clinicals we had to do, when you deal with people that are hooked on opiates, especially opiates, they're very docile. They usually don't get irate and mad until they start coming down. And so as long as you keep them fed on their opiates, they're very calm. They just want to sleep. They want to nap. They want to chill out. And that's why it's the most pushed drug. Notice they're not trying to push heavy amounts of methamphetamines on the market, which there's a ton of them already as it is. But the heroin, the opiate, the OxyContin, all this stuff is the easiest, most effective drug drug to keep a population under control, because you constantly keep them in a sedated state all the time. And once you get hooked on those opiates, all you want is opiates. That is your primary 100% number one goal every single day, is how do you get your next opiate hit to feed those receptors so you can calm back down, relax, and get back to your sedative state. That's why they've allowed this stuff to explode. This isn't an accident that all these opiates on the market have exploded. They knew what this stuff did. They massively allowed the doctors to come in and overprescribe these drugs and allow people to get hooked on them. At the same time, they were flooding the market. As I told you guys the other day, since 2001, right before we invaded the Middle East over there, to current day, the opium production from Afghanistan has increased 40 times over. 40 times over from our first invasion to current day now. That's not an accident, guys. This isn't just some kind of conspiracy theory. These are known facts you can pull up now and research. The only reason that we're still in Afghanistan has nothing to do with stabilizing the economy, teaching the Afghan military how to fight, none of that. The primary main reason is to keep the opium fields going, to keep the poppy going, to keep the opium rolling, and to keep processing this stuff and shipping it out. The second primary reason we're still in Afghanistan is to use as a conduit to facilitate more weapons, more munitions, more armored personnel carriers to ISIS members so we can send them to whatever states that we want to destabilize, such as the Philippines, as we see now. That's the second reason we're over there, but the primary goal is the opium, always has been. That's why it's exploded in growth. All we would have to do, since we love Monsanto so much in the United States, we love glyphosate, all we would have to do is go over there with a bunch of tanker trucks and spray these crops down with glyphosate, even though I'm not a fan of glyphosate, but nothing grows with glyphosate over there. Spray it all down, hose it down, it's in the soil, everything's dead, they're not even going to be able to plant it for years, and it's done, it's over with. Oh, opium's done now, poppies are done, opium problem's done now, nothing come out of here. But obviously, as you see, 40 times larger now than it was when we first invaded. That's not an accident, Dad. That's very, very intentional of what's going on.
Well, it's always that way, isn't it? I mean, when you get the mafia running the country, which is what this is, it's the mafia running, the Federal Reserve mafia, when they're running the country with all their crime families, this is what it is. By the way, McMaster, they say, is manipulating the intelligence reports to Trump. This is an interesting article by Chernovich, and it says basically that the National Security Advisor wants 150,000 ground troops in Syria right now. I mean, this is blowing my mind. This is escalating like this. Current National Security Advisor Herman Raymond McMaster is manipulating intelligence reports, according to this author, given to President Donald Trump. Now that McMaster is plotting on how to sell a massive ground war in Syria to President Trump with the help of a disgraced former CIA director and convicted criminal David Petraeus, who mishandled classified information by sharing documents with his mistress. As NSA, McMaster's job is to synthesize intelligence reports from all other agencies, and President Trump is being given an inaccurate picture of the situation in Syria, as McMaster is seeking to involve the U.S. in a full-scale 150,000 combat troops on the ground war in Syria. Unbelievable, Austin. Where do these people come from that do this crap? I mean, obviously these guys are just a bunch of evil people that are trying to destroy the planet. What do you think?
No, it's exactly what's going on. And this, and remember I told you last week, I brought this up with the whole thing about Assad, how we think, or we have intelligence that they're basically planning another chemical attack on their own civilians, which is total BS. There's no evidence whatsoever, because it doesn't exist, because Assad would be a complete and total nutbag if he went and did something like that, considering how many people are against him right now, not to mention if he actually did that and it was shown, Iran and Russia would completely disown him and he would be dissolved immediately. And like I told you guys last week, they still have refused to allow the United States to back off and allow a third party to come in and do testing on the chemical weapons that were supposedly used to kill the women and children that they said. Now, a Russian senator, Alexei Pushkov, said that the United States is blatantly preparing a false flag provocation as a pretext to launch a military assault on Syria. He responded to this through the report. He said the U.S. has ships and aircraft in place right now to strike Syria. If ordered to do so by the president, Pushkov has cautioned that this would be a precursor to a staged incident. He stated the United States puts its Navy and Air Force on alert currently and is just waiting for an excuse to strike Syria. Assad will not give them one. This, Pushkov wrote, makes it the perfect time for a provocation. Remember, earlier this week, the administration warned Assad that the U.S. was aware of new preparations for a chemical attack and he would pay a heavy price for any such action. The situation is blatantly a massive provocation, both military and information-wise, a provocation which starts not only the Syrian leadership, but also Russia. And then you have that blithering idiot ambassador Nikki Haley come in, and she goes after the administration releases, she goes, any further attacks done to the people of Syria will be blamed on Assad, but also on Russia and Iran, who support him for killing his own people. Lies, lies, lies. I'm not a huge fan of Syria. Never been to Syria. Probably will never go to Syria. Don't know Assad. Don't shake hands with him, nor have I ever talked to him. But I can read and smell BS when I see it from these unbelievably idiotic mainstream media that apparently think the whole entire United States civilization are a bunch of blithering idiots. This is the clearest evidence, if I've ever seen one recently, that we're trying to attack Syria, and we want a blatant excuse to do so. We can't get Assad to do anything stupid, so we're blatantly coming up with lies to try and press onto the media to justify why we're going to invade his country. Oh, he's getting ready to release chemical weapons on his civilian population. Why on earth would you do that right now when you have the Air Force and the Navy down your throat with ballistic missiles aimed at your country ready to strike you at any moment if you went to do something like that? You would have to be the world's most idiotic president in existence. He's not planning on doing something like that. We're using it so if we can get another false flag lined up by ISIS, our black op mercenary ISIS team that's over in Europe all the time now, over in the Middle East all the time now, doing whatever the globalists bid, if they can set up another chemical false flag and they can record some children being killed by sarin gas or whatever unknown substance they want to put out there, and they can put it on the media and say, oh, Assad gassed his own people again, we're attacking, we're invading, 150,000 ground troops descend into Syria, we're taking you over, Assad, you're a children killer, we will not tolerate this, is America, let's go to war, military industrial complex, spool up, we're going to war again, the never-ending war, because we want to invade every single country to put in a Rothschild-backed Federal Reserve Bank. That's exactly what's going on here, Dad, and I can't believe so many people are so blind they don't see exactly what's going on right now.
Well, they don't want to see the truth, and they're blinded because basically what's happened is the media, like you said earlier, has brainwashed them. You know, this giant beta test alpha brainwave thing they're doing to everybody with this theta brainwave set. I mean, this is just who these people are, boss. So they want to go in and destroy everything they possibly can as quickly as they can. I mean, this is who they are. And by the way, Israel is now doing aggression against Syrian tanks or flying in all the time and bombing Syrian tanks. I mean, no one ever asked Israel to come in and be involved in any of this, but Israeli warplanes, again, attacked Syria's targets at its own discretion. This happened last Saturday. Whenever an act of aggression occur, Israel tries to justify the unjustifiable. The statement following Saturday's attack said, the IDF will not allow any attempt to harm Israel's sovereignty and the security of its people and sees the Syrian regime as responsible for what transpires in its territory. What the heck does that even mean? I don't even know what that even supposed to mean. It gives you the right to go in and bomb them? Israel claimed that the errant fire landed in illegally occupied Golan, which it did not, by the way. The IDF struck the origin of launches and two Syrian tanks, it said. I mean, unbelievable. And then it's just crazy that this is going on and this is happening over and over and over again, guys. I mean, but we've got to realize this. The Mossad was deeply involved in 9/11. We've got to look at the roots of Israel being the Rothschild banking cartel with the Balfour Declaration. I did a whole show on that a few weeks ago. And I even read you the doggone Balfour Declaration, who these guys were and what they said in it. These are the guys who run the central banks, the mafia, the Jewish mafia that's involved in all of this stuff. And it's like you said earlier, Austin, that they have an entire program for wet works, which means if they can't get something done legally, they'll take somebody and just have them killed. If they can't discredit them or whatever, they'll just have a bullet put in their head. I mean, we saw this happens all the time. They've had heart attack weapons they've had available now since the 70s, and now they've actually come much further with those as far as their pulse beam weapons to stop the heart. I mean, Fred Bell, I believe with all my heart, and his family believes with all their heart, that he was murdered by one of these weapons when he exposed what was going on with the space-based weapon systems on Jesse Ventura's show. And I mean, I've talked to his daughter and his wife. I mean, these people are absolutely convinced that Fred Bell was killed. So guys, it's one of those things that we have to be very, very careful when we talk about stuff like this and not point individuals who are involved in this chain, you know, who are little people, because you don't know what's going to happen when you start pushing too many buttons too fast. So guys, just continue to pray for us, because we're out here on the forefront with you guys telling you the truth. And quite frankly, most other news talk shows right now aren't touching any of this stuff. And the one thing about it is we try to document everything. And if we have a reference that's not 100% of what we know it should be, we'll say to you guys, I'm going to verify this, try to get some more references on this. A lot of guys don't do that. Just make stuff up. We won't do that, Austin. What do you think about the Syria and Israel attacking their tanks? And what's your next story, bud?
It doesn't surprise me at all. Israel's at the head of a lot of this stuff as far as with attacks. Also, too, this is pretty wild now. Australia's highest-ranking Roman Catholic clergyman, the Vatican treasurer Cardinal George Pell, has now been charged by Australian police over sex allegations from multiple complaints. This individual, basically, he is the Vatican's third most powerful figure. So this global pedophile ring is basically continuing to be exposed. I talked about it yesterday, the Operation Broken Heart 3 that went down in California, and they busted another 200-something people. LA Times was talking about it. Cardinal Pell is facing multiple charges in respect to sexual offenses. Victorian State Police Deputy Commissioner Shane Patton told the media in Melbourne on Thursday. It looks like a lot of this stuff is from a ways back, but apparently they're saying now that they have over 10 victims, males apparently, that have come forward and said that he's basically molested them, touched them, forced them to have sex, a lot of really weird stuff. But again, the scandal just always continues to go on and go on, but I'm really glad a lot of this stuff is getting exposed at, because I feel like now that all this stuff is starting to come to light, more and more people are even less tolerant of it, because it's becoming so exposed. When people find out about it and they hear about it, they immediately want to make sure that it doesn't happen. Because the thing is, if you have kids, you realize this is something that's just absolutely horrific. Even if you don't have kids, it's horrific. But when you start hearing and seeing about this kind of stuff, and some of these guys have gotten away with it, it just makes you irate. So when you find out that these guys are getting busted, all you want to do is, you know, clap. You want to be like, good riddance to these sicko perverts. They don't need to be anywhere in society. So I find it pretty odd. Again, though, this guy's pretty high up in the Vatican, but that doesn't surprise me for a lot of stuff we've heard in the past.
Well, you know, it's interesting you said that, because, you know, Stanley Kubrick did this movie, Lolita, back in the 62 film, in which there was these old perverts having sex with these young girls. I mean, Stanley Kubrick was trying to tell in all the movie, Clockwork Orange, going on with, you know, control and mind control. He tried to tell us with The Shining what was going on with the Apollo missions. He tried to tell us in all of these different things, the other movie that he did with Nicole and Tom Kidman, what was the name of that?
Eyes Wide Shut.
Eyes Wide Shut. Yep. Don't watch that movie, by the way, unless you watch it on TV that's fully edited. That is some perverted mess. And he had another movie that he had coming out after that that was going to go into the deep, deep satanic sacrifice of these guys and what they do. And suddenly he died. And he died, by the way, before Eyes Wide Shut was released. And they edited 15 out of the movie for him to be redone. He would not allow to be edited out. This is an article by McLaughlin, and it's talking about the hearings that are in secret of what's going on now with intelligence committees with John Podesta and what's going on with Jeff Sessions. Now, if this is really happening, I don't know if they're in secret. And they're also saying that Seth Rich, the young staffer who was killed, may have been basically giving out information about the Podesta emails, which, of course, we pretty much know that. At the same time, President Trump has had an aggressive campaign against child sex trafficking. the reason bad of the Houston. So on what's happening with all of these guys. Now, let's go back to Colt, who played in this movie Eyes Wide Shut. And she basically got into this debate, according to this researcher, and said that Stanley Kubrick told me the world is run by pedophiles. This is what Stanley Kubrick told her. You know, this is some crazy stuff that she's involved in, because, you know, her father was directly involved in a pedophile ring in Australia, and fled Australia and was murdered. So this is some crazy stuff that's happening all over the world. And they were working with Stanley in 1999 when their eyes shut. They believe that Kubrick gave away two secret films about secret societies and the global elite, and that's why he was murdered. Underage sex pedophilia was territory the director was familiar with, casting Lyon to play the sexually charged teen when she was only 14 years old in the role of Lolita. Kubrick's movie Lolita, based on Vladimir Nabokov's book, was about a middle-aged professor becoming infatuated with a 14-year-old girl. The film was then made over again in 1997. It kind of makes you wonder. So this is something, and Kidman also added, according to this researcher, that Stanley's next film was going to be about psychopathic pedophiles, and he said he was going to go deeper down the rabbit hole. So now he's gone. He can't do that for us. So guys, this is a pretty big rabbit hole. And guys, this is a rabbit hole that could bring down all of Washington, D.C. This rabbit hole's that big. The problem is, the guys involved in the judiciary are also involved in this. In other words, the judges, who a lot of these guys are top Masonic leaders and pedophiles, also would have to put their own boys in jail for doing what they do themselves. And guys, that's never going to happen. They won't turn on their own like this. They simply won't do it. But they will find somebody they can frame if they need to put him as a patsy and then basically kill him before he can testify, which we've seen over and over and over again. Austin, what do you think?
No, you're exactly right. That's going to be the play, plan A and B for the time being, is a lot of these guys getting busted. They're going to allow them to basically try and turn over evidence, and then they'll kill them, or they'll allow people to get arrested. They're going to be basically false witnesses. They're going to tell lies or not turn in people. All these different options they're going to try and do to cover up the main big players in this. But if we can get anybody that gets arrested to actually truly testify and stay alive long enough to do so on some of these big boys, you're absolutely right. It would take down a huge segment of Washington. It would take down a huge segment of Hollywood and everything out there. And it would be devastating to the globalists, because they love being involved in this really, really sick, perverted activity. But also, too, a health article for today. This is pretty cool. You guys have heard me talk about resveratrol so many times. I'll tell you. It's in grapes. It's basically in wine. It's really good for the heart. It's a great antioxidant, but you don't have to drink alcohol to get a hold of it. You know, we have one of the best, highest potency methylated resveratrols on the market, and it's super popular. Well, now a new product, or not a new product, a new research study just came out, which this is pretty cool. I had not seen this before. Apparently, nobody had really known about this until just recently. Researchers from Penn State Hershey Cancer Institute have found a potential cure for colon cancer. They discovered that the compound found in grape resveratrol could be effective in treating colon cancer, according to Jerem K.P. Valenema, associate professor of food sciences at Penn State. He stated, the combination of resveratrol and grapeseed extract is extremely effective at killing colon cancer cells. And what we've learned is that the combination of these compounds is not toxic to healthy cells at all. This was published in the recent issue of BMC Complementary and Alternative Medicine. The findings suggest that resveratrol could be used in pills to prevent colon cancer and minimize the reoccurrence of disease for cancer survivors. Resveratrol has been quite popular among health experts because of its potential health benefits. It's believed to also be effective in providing relief, if not the cure, for ailments like diabetes, neurodegenerative diseases, and cancer. So I've talked about resveratrol so many times now on here, and this is a pretty cool little thing here. They said the team was interested in targeting stem cells because cancerous tumors are driven by cancer stem cells. They said the cancer stem cells are capable of self-renewal, and essentially what happened was the resveratrol stops that from happening, so they don't allow these stem cells to renew, and thereby forcing the cancer to essentially die. So this is pretty cool information. I did not know this about resveratrol. I know it's very good cancer prevention. preventative, but being able to treat colon cancer from these guys, what they're saying, I'm not claiming that's what these guys are saying, is pretty impressive. So definitely, if you guys ever get a chance or you're curious in the product or you're in that type of position, check out our resveratrol because it's incredibly strong formula. And, you know, it's not cheap. It's like $56 a bottle. But when you look at the dosage of it as far as what you're actually getting and the amount of resveratrol you're getting per one capsule, it's pretty impressive with the quercetin and the resveratrol extract and the methylated resveratrol that's in it, Dad. So I thought that was pretty cool. I wanted to bring up today.
Well, you know, it's like this. I mean, if you're getting 10 times more than you'd get for a bottle that had that was $35, it's a very good value. So that's what I always tell people is, like, you got to look at the dosage. Like, our vitamin D3 is 10,000 IUs with K2. I mean, nobody really sells that in health food stores, that kind of level. I mean, this is like pharmaceutical stuff that we use because they're basically super high quality nutraceuticals. By the way, anxiety, depression, and fatigue are caused by nutritional deficiencies. This is another good article, and it says that basically what you have here is that healthy food deficiency because of a junk food diet is causing all types of problems with mood and depression disorders, which we've covered multiple times on the shows. It says people shopping for their family fill their carts with junk sugar, filled cereal, chips, candy, soda, TV dinners, and overprocessed food in general. You know, Sharon a minute ago was talking to me, Austin. We've got a brand new cookbook and health book coming out that'll be available probably in a couple of months. It's about to go to press. And what's interesting about this book is we have basically told you why these things are bad. And Sharon said to me today, she says, no one can read this book and not change their diets. And I said, well, that's not true. I said, people have to be convicted internally first before they make change. Usually it's through emotion or repetition that people change. And that's how they remember things also. Because remember, if you come down with a horrible disease such as cancer, you're going to remember very quickly. If you find out nutritional deficiencies were the cause, you're never going to allow that to happen again. But if you don't come down with some disease, Lord willing, then you may not ever realize there's a correlation between a nutritional deficiency and a disease. And so you may just go happy down your road until all of a sudden you're 50, 60 years old and you start having all these health problems because of nutritional deficiencies. Omega-3 fatty deficiencies. There are foods such as cod liver oil and omega-3 fats. It says a deficiency of omega-3 fat is the fatty acids or an imbalance between omega-3 and omega-6 could cause depression. A vitamin D deficiency, we covered that, D3, but you have to take it with K2, important to immune function, bones, and brain health. Sunlight is the richest source for D3. This is what causes the associative mood disorders up in the north in the wintertime, is a lack of vitamin D, and the system simply can't get enough nutrients into the brain not to become depressed. Next thing is methylated B vitamin deficiency. There's much research in neuropsychiatry that proves the link between B vitamin deficiencies and mood disorders, including depression, including all types of horrible depression and problems with mood disorders that they used to use electroconvulsive shock therapy for. Oh, that's right. They still use that, don't they? Including with children. We've covered that too. By the way, zinc and folate, another B vitamin, chromium and iron deficiencies can also cause depression. These are very important trace minerals that have to be in the body. And iodine deficiency. Iodine is necessary for the thyroid to work properly. The thyroid, part of the endocrine system, is one of the most important glands in your body. The thyroid gland affects every function of the body, including body temperature, immune system, and brain function, and your basal metabolic rate. A lot of times your thyroid's not working really well because you've loaded yourself up with so much fluorine and chlorine. The thyroid thinks that's iodine and absorbs it, and it shuts down the thyroid function. Iodine is found in such foods as potatoes, cranberries, kelp, etc. The problem was once solved by using iodine-rich salt. However, iodine deficiency is beginning again because people are using salt-free diets, which is not giving them iodine. We have one of the best nascent iodines available on the market. It's very, very inexpensive. These guys that are charging you $50 and $100 for a little bit of nascent iodine, complete and total nonsense. Ours is 12.5 milligrams per tablet. And what is the cost on that, Austin? $24, $25, $30 for the iodine? I don't even remember anymore.
Not even that, man. We run it at $19.99, and yeah, it's for 90 capsules, gel capsules basically, and 12.5 milligrams per capsule, and it's $19.99 per bottle. Extremely cost effective at that high of a dose, especially with the molecular iodine in it. I always recommend to people, especially that have any type of chance of being exposed to radiation, whether it's on the West Coast or by a nuclear reactor or anything, always keep at least 1 to 2 bottles of this on tap in the house and just rotate it as you use it. Usually one capsule a day to one capsule every day on a daily basis is a very, very good healthy dose of iodine in the body to keep the thyroid functioning properly. Also, too, the thyroid support in conjunction with that is phenomenal to keep optimal thyroid levels at tip-top shape, like T3 and T4 levels. I get so many people, this is such a regular problem now, Dad just mentioned, people that are having very, very sluggish thyroids, hypothyroidism. And immediately when they go to the doctor sees they have low levels. So instead of trying to talk to them about diet and nutrients like iodine, they immediately want to put them on thyroxine or some type of synthetic T3. And the problem with that is it doesn't fix the problem. All you're doing is basically adding synthetic T3 and you're not fixing the root issue. Your body needs essential nutrients like vitamin A, selenium, D3, Guggenstrons. You know, the iodine, all this stuff, it needs it for optimal thyroid health. So when you throw that stuff in there, like with our thyroid support, and then you want to add an additional iodine, it makes everything function so much more effectively, Dad. But yeah, for $19.99 a bottle on the iodine, it's definitely one of the best priced iodines on the market that I've seen, especially for the quality that we make.
Well, you have to understand something. Healthy brain function needs a proper balance of neurotransmitters, and you can't manufacture neurotransmitters without the proper nutrients. That's one of the reasons our 5-HTP is such a good product. Some neurotransmitters calm the brain, and others excite the brain. Their balance in the brain creates stability of emotions and thinking. When you're deficient in one or the other, it causes all types of problems, and you get all wrapped up and mad about stuff when you shouldn't get mad about stuff, or you get depressed. Often depression and other mental disorders are caused by imbalances in these neurotransmitters. Dopamine, noradrenaline, and GABA are three important neurotransmitters that are often deficient in the people who have depression. Orthomolecular physicians and naturopathic physicians have found that the treatment with amino acids, including different types of nutrients and trace mineral supplementations, can help get rid of the mood orders of depression, including the methylated B vitamins, the cod liver oil, the vitamin D3, the iodine, which we just mentioned, guys. That's one of the things that I also do one other thing every day in my protein shake. Most of you guys don't know this. We have an unsulfured blackstrap molasses. It's really inexpensive. $4 or $5 a bottle. It lasts for months. I put like a teaspoon of that in every single shake that I make in the morning. It's organic. And what it does, it gives me a whole bunch of trace minerals that are all natural from the sugar cane, which are really, really high in nutrient density. That's why it's so important, guys, that you maintain a good trace mineral supplement. If you don't want to use the blackstrap molasses, you can use our trace mineral supplements, our Aquatrace. But guys, no matter what you do, make sure that you take the right amount of nutrients and the high enough density and quantities that your body gets optimal nutrition, which is a concept whose time has come. We've got to realize, guys, we don't want suboptimal nutrition. We don't want supplements that don't work. We want to use stuff that's going to work and make us incredibly healthy and give us a vibrance for life. I mean, I'm 61 years old. I feel absolutely wonderful. I always feel great. And it's the whole thing is I take my supplements on a regular basis and I eat as clean as I possibly can. But I have a confession to make, Austin.
Yeah.
I've got a confession. Last night we were coming out of the national park. We had just gotten done doing the doggone dragon's tail. And there was a big sign, some big old lodge that was real old was there. And it said, we have brick iron fired pizza. And we broke down and we had a pizza. I have. So if you guys saw me over there last night, which I'm sure you didn't, I just want to say that I did have a piece of pizza, maybe two. And so Savannah wanted to go there. She's 14 years old. And I thought, well, I'm going to go ahead and do this. But we did order, they had an organic bowl there of a bunch of other stuff. So we did order the organic bowl to try to make us not feel as guilty for eating the pizza. But it's been a long, long time, Austin, since I've had a non-organic pizza. But I just want to let you guys know, I am human. And every once in a while, we will break protocol. And quite frankly, I'm actually quite excited that I still feel really, really good today because I was hoping I wasn't going to get that grain brain thing going on with the glyphosate. So hopefully that wasn't something that they had done. And hopefully that was an organic pizza. I should have asked, Austin. What do you think?
Yeah, well, you can usually tell. That's one thing I tell a lot of people. You know, if you go to a restaurant or a store or a place that is making you some food and you eat the food, once you start getting pretty clean, once you start eating really clean food on a regular basis and you get your body really dialed in to where you know it needs to be, you'll notice when you're off for a day or you notice if something's not optimal. And if you eat crap and it's got glyphosate in it or it's got some type of significant preservatives or artificial additives to it that are really not good for you, you'll know when you you eat it. And so that kind of gives you indication of, hey, I'm not going to eat there again next time, or, oh, these guys are not what they say they are. So if you feel pretty good on it, it probably was a pretty decent meal. A place out there, they're probably going to be, you know, pretty proud of quality, and they're going to want to have pretty good food and not make junk, especially, you know, being as, they're probably pretty popular, even though it's a very rural area. But I can't say I would have blamed you being out there. You know, pizza probably would have been pretty nice. I've had pizza in a while, but I guarantee you it was pretty good last night.
Well, I tell you what, I have to admit, maybe it's because I haven't had pizza in so long. It was the best pizza I've ever had. It was really good. All right, guys, I want to thank you for listening today. Now, if you've had your true confessions from Ted, guys, I love you. I appreciate you. Keep taking your supplements. Stay away from non-organic pizza. Okay? If you're going to do it every once in a while. Thanks for listening, guys. I hope you enjoyed the show today. We always try to put a little bit of humor in here so you guys will know that we're humans like the rest of everybody else, and we're not, and no, we're not perfect. So God bless. Appreciate you. Talk to us tomorrow. We go close. You'll need to write up the summary for it, buddy. God bless. Bye-bye.
Got it, brother. Yes, guys, we appreciate it. Thank you for all the support, as always. Getting a lot of emails. And there's an email I got earlier today from a customer that was asking us about international shipping. So I thought I would address this on the show, because I get actually quite a bit of emails about this, on why our international shipping is so expensive. A, we have a fixed rate a lot of times that goes out internationally. We use USPS Priority Mail International, and everything is tracked and insured. So when we ship it, you get a tracking number. It's insured. If there's damages, that we can either get our money back to refund you or get you more product, whatever is the most effective, easiest way if there is an issue. We don't usually ever have damages, though, because international shipments are usually packed very, very, very tight and very heavily padded because of what extreme areas they usually go through. I've had a lot of people bring up and be like, well, there's some places that they'll sell it, you know, for like $10 international shipping and stuff like that. That's usually parcel post, and that's usually with very, very small items, like one bottle of something. Parcel post can take anywhere from 2 to 3 to 4 weeks internationally. It's not insured. It's not tracked. You have no way of knowing when it's going to show up. It's not something we do just from a quality control standpoint. When we're shipping out large packages, we like to make sure they're insured, and we like to know where they're at, and we want you to know where they're at. So that's why our international shipping isn't free, and that's why it usually can get pretty expensive. If you are concerned about it and you really are trying to get a cheaper price, you can always give us a call, and we'll be more than happy to try and work something out with you, get some quotes together, and maybe look at something if you're wanting to place a big order. But that's usually why it is. However, the United States, of course, we still have held true to the free shipping on orders over $100, even all over the place, even out to California, stuff like that. Our shipping rate, our shipping bill, I mean, we got pretty good rates with UPS and Priority Mail. However, it's still very, very expensive. So thank you guys for working with us on that. Also, too, as I told you yesterday, check out the Ultimate Multiple Chewable. Super great product. A lot of people ordered it overnight to try it out. You guys will love it. If you need anything, email us, call us, healthmasters.com, 1-800-726-1834. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow. We'll be right back.